Praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. I want to talk tonight about, I was reading a scripture. I'm not going to go to it tonight, but it was talking about, you know, things that we say in another translation. It brought it out and said, what are you talking about? What you deal? I'm going to ask you now, what are you dealing? What do I mean? What are you dealing? What are you dealing out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? Is it the word of God? Are you saying what you want, or are you saying what you have? Amen. Words, someone said this, our life is a result of all the words that have ever been said to us that we've received and that we've ever said and believed and acted on. The words, and we're going to read it in Hebrews, but God used words to frame the world. And words are containers, powerful containers. All right. Now I heard for years, you know, about in music, people get all worried about the music, you know. Well, what kind of beat? Well, that's a devil beat. There's no devil beats. God made up every beat. Come on. Every note that's ever been played, God made it up. Now, there are some devil words, though. All the music is the vehicle that the message rode in. Now, just like you, how many of you have a favorite kind of car or truck or that type of thing? Well, you probably got a favorite kind of music, too. If it was up to you, you'd drive the music in that vehicle, or the words, the message. But it's the message that's important. It's the words that are said. Words can contain faith. Words contain fear. Words contain blessings. Words contain cursings. Words contain life. They can contain death. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now we used to hear, and those of us have been, if you've been in this for a while, how many of you are here long, you were saved. Now I realize when I say the 70s, you think that's talking about the Ancient of Days for some of you. You weren't even born. You're born in the, we've got students this year that were born in the 2000s. Anybody here born in the year 2000 that you're in here tonight? I see a couple hands. Glory to God. That's great. Welcome. We're not that young anymore, most of us. But you know, if you got saved in the 70s, early 80s, there was a lot of teaching about our confession, what we said. And even to the point that there was, you know, I think there were some things that were said that were misunderstood. And so we don't want to misunderstand what the Bible says about it. But we do want to put the proper importance upon what we say. All right. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, we'll start there. For this commandment, which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither it is far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near unto you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now that sounds a lot like Romans chapter 10. Paul quoted this section of scripture. And then the Lord said here before through his mouthpiece, Moses, see, I have set before you this day life and good. Everybody say life and good. See, life and good go together. Okay, and death and evil. Well, notice that death and evil go together. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land whither you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you pass over Jordan to go possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, here's the deal that I have set before you. God has set before them life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, God always gives the answer to the test, usually right there. Therefore, choose life. All right? So to do it, he said, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Now, he said, well, what does that have to do with words? We'll look in just a minute. But notice that God has given us his word to do these things. And the reason that we're going to talk about words, because actions follow words. Words, the right words will produce the right actions in us. And if we're not being a doer of the word, even the word that we say, then we're, the Bible says we're a hypocrite and we're confused. Amen. We have to be a doer of the word. Now, I want you to go then to Proverbs 18. Let's tie this together with life and blessing. Life and blessing. Life and death and cursing. Proverbs 18. Now, he said, I said it before you. I said it before. You know, God has created us in his image with the ability to make choices. We have a free will. Now, I know some folks don't believe that. I think everything that happens was God's will, and you don't have any choice in it. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible teaches a whosoever will, right? And so he said, I've said it this before you. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 20 says this. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. That's basically saying whatever fruit you've had with your mouth, whatever you've spoken with your lips, that's what is increasing and producing in your life. Now, we know it's going to produce what? Life, or it's going to produce death, right? It's going to produce blessing or cursing. Now, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. So that tells me this. I can speak and choose to speak words that cause life and blessing, or I can choose to speak words that cause death and cursing. All right? In my life. I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking for me, see? And you know, I know some people, they get upset if someone says something about them they think is negative and they want to rebuke the person. No, you know, listen, your words that you say about me has no effect on me whatsoever. My who I am and what I have is in Christ. And you can't touch it. Well, I don't understand it. Well, Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that means you can't separate me, I can't separate you. Glory to God. Amen. Now look at Matthew 12. Here Jesus talks about the importance of words. So we have a choice. We can choose what we say. How many of you have ever wished you had chosen better? I can't remember what did the guy say there in that one Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, when the guy chose the wrong cup of Christ. He chose poorly, yes. I have done that. I've heard that voice in my mind after I said something. You chose poorly. Right? Well, but the choice is ours. Amen. Now look here at Matthew 12. Let's begin in verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now notice here again, in Proverbs it talked about the fruit of your lips. So your life, if your life is represented here by the tree, the tree is representing us. We are known by what comes out of our mouth. Now, you learn this in ministering to people and trying to help people. You locate them by the words they say to you. All right? Now, some folks, you know, you have to thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. He can tell you, you know, that, well, you might want to spend a little bit more time on this. They're not telling you the truth yet. But you can locate people and try to help them by listening to their words. All right, we locate ourselves. Verse 34, he says, now this, Jesus getting on them, he said, generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many of you know as children of God, old pastor said this morning, old things have passed away, all things become new, all things are of God. We don't have that evil heart, amen? So we can speak good things. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words shall you be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. Now that's another way of saying, by your words you're going to choose life and blessing, and by your words you're going to choose death or cursing. By your words. And by your words, here it's interesting. I like it that it uses the word justified. There's a couple other translations that say, in your words you shall be righteous. I think of Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. See, righteousness cannot be gained by anything that I do. It comes through believing. Okay? With the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. See, you have to say it. You believe it and then you say it. Jesus said, we're going to give an account. Why? Because by these words we are justified. By these words we are condemned. Or by these words we are choosing life. Or by our words we are choosing death. He has set that before us. Now look at James chapter 3, if you would please. James, the brother of Jesus. This is not James, the brother of John. This is James, who is the brother of Jesus. And he is the person in Acts 15 at what's called the council at Jerusalem when Paul and Barnabas have come back there and Paul's entourage, and then Peter gets up and they're talking about the Gentiles coming into the church and do they have to be circumcised and all that type of stuff. James, this James here is the pastor of the church, and he gets up at the final and sums up the entirety of what the Lord is saying to him there that day. And so here he is by the Spirit of God to us about something very important. He says in verse 2, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. How many of you have ever ridden a horse when it had a halter on and had a bit in their mouth? And you pull on the right hand rein and the horse turns where? To the right with that bit. Now let me ask you this. Are any of you stronger than that horse? No. But you use that bit in its mouth to turn it. And you how many of you have ever trained? You got to train the horse to the bit. I mean, at first, you put that on a young horse you're trying to train it. It wants to spit it out. And he's not going to do it. Now, my sister decided, I remember growing up, decided she wanted a horse. And my mom and dad were able to get a horse. But they bought a retired barrel racing horse. I don't recommend that. That horse. Now, my uncle, my mom's brother, he could handle that horse. He could get on that horse, and that horse would do what he said. But that horse would be nice until she decided, and her name was Maybe. See, I don't think you ever want to ride a horse that's named Maybe, which it means maybe I want you on me, maybe I don't. Because that horse was trained. It could run full speed and basically stop, boom, just bam, just stop. And you went sailing. That horse was something else. And but you had to be able to control that bit. If you could do that, the horse would do what you wanted. All right. He goes on and says, behold, also ships, which they be so great and are driven with fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue. Now, what that bit in that horse's mouth and the ship, you know, the rudder on the ship, it's a small thing compared to the size of the ship. Yet the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder turn that strong and that very large horse or very large ship. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. So just like that bit in the horse's mouth, just like the rudder on the ship, your tongue, even though it's a small member of your body, it's a small piece of compared to other, but it has the power to turn your life and direct your life based on what it's saying. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Why? Because we're created in the image of God. No other being's created in God's image. We are created in the image of God, not just having the ability to speak, because we know angels can speak, but the right to say whatever we decide we want to say. Angels don't have that. We found that out with Satan. When Satan said, I will be like the Most High, I will ascend above the stars of the throne, I will basically take God's place, I'll be God, he got kicked out. See, they have the ability, but not the right. We have the right, because we're created in the image of God, to speak words. Okay? And he says here, that tongue, even though it's little, it boasts great things. It's like starting a fire. How many of you know that if you start with a little kindling and the fire just started big, you can build a pretty big raging fire? Have you ever tried to light a log? Like you get a big old log out there and you got that little, you know, that little lighter thing now with the, okay? It's hard to get that started. All right? Let's keep reading. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. This pastor, he said, man, he said, I'm seeing people, he's basically said, I'm seeing people burn up their life with their mouth. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. Now, what does that mean? The devil wants you to use your words to burn your life up. Set on fire of hell. Now, he goes on to say, no man can tame the tongue, but thank God, God can. That's one thing I do want to submit this. That's one reason praying in an unknown tongue by the Spirit of God is so important. So important, so powerful. It's yielding our tongue to God. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Right? And speaking forth what? Mysteries. Mysteries, speaking forth those divine mysteries. Hallelujah. Speaking words. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's important what we say. We have the ability to speak life or death. You know, now think back. The moment you confessed, because you believed, the moment you said, Jesus is my Lord, instantly, what happened? Life came. And all of hell couldn't stop it. Now, you know that if the devil could stop anything, he'd stop that. Because now you become a child of God, the righteousness of God in Christ. You're now more than a conqueror. You're hard for him to handle. He would have stopped that. Well, if he can't stop that, guess what? He can't stop anything God's done for us. Glory to God. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds, that word worlds there literally is the word ages. It means ages, times. The times were framed by the word of God so that things are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, remember, we're creating the image of God. Now, if God frames the age, the time, by what he says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. God frames things with his words. God said, and it happened. Right? Genesis 3, God said, you're going to bruise his heel, but the seed of woman's coming, is going to bruise your head. Now, it took a few years, but that didn't mean anything to God. Because the Bible said in the New Testament, at the right time, Christ came. So our time and God's time aren't always exactly the same. But when he speaks the word, it happens. Well, we're in his image. We can frame our world, our time, with the words that we say. So what are we saying? Are we saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Are we saying, man, I just don't know how I'm going to make it? Amen. Are we saying my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Or are we saying, I don't know if I'll never have anything nice like that. I can't afford that. See, there was a time, and if you've been around a long time, you know we used to be hard on ourselves. We wouldn't say anything Now, just because you say it, you got to believe in your heart. I'm not trying to make a work out of this, but I am saying this is a big part of it. What you say. It's so important. Framing the time that you're living in. Framing my life, my family with blessing, not cursing. Now you see this powerful, you see it so powerfully when you deal with children. Amen. You know, now we're not here to, listen, you're in Christ now, okay? We're not here tonight to wear the victim badge, but there's things in your life right now that you're dealing with because of words that were said to you by someone who didn't, you know, I don't know, they might have been, it doesn't matter. It was the devil, but God can set you free from it. You don't have to allow that to frame your world any longer. But in order for those words to affect you, you had to take them in and make them what you believed about yourself. But I'm telling you here tonight, listen, you can take words, just say what the word of God says about you. Hallelujah. Amen. Frame your world. Frame what you want. Speak to your children. That's why in a lot of cultures, they wouldn't, that had a God influence, sometimes they wouldn't name their children for a while. They'd watch them and they'd name them. But then other cultures that really kept, they would start naming their children based upon what they wanted them to become. Amen. All right, let's look in Romans chapter 4. Part of this, when you begin to speak these things, it may not be something that you can tangibly see right now in your life. That's okay. Now, I know for me, when I first started hearing these things, you know, the thought came, well, if I said that, I'd be lying. How many of you have had that thought? Well, if I said that, I'd be lying. Well, let's look at that. Because we don't want to lie. Well, it won't be no liars up there, brother. Right? Or lawyers. I don't know what's wrong with the lawyers, but there won't be any of them in there either. That's what you hear people say. No liars, no lawyers. Glory to God. I don't know. If you're a lawyer here tonight, hallelujah. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. I don't know what that, but you hear people say that. I heard a song one time. They actually sang that line. Won't be no lawyers there. I was like, well, what about everybody else that does anything else? You know, how about accountants? Are there any accountants there? I don't know. Amen. But speaking these things, you may not be this right now, but if God says it, you can say it. When God said, let there be light, was there any light? What was the description of what was going on? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, light be. When he said, let there be light, it was dark. Amen? So God does what this verse here says, Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now when he said that about Abram, he changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations, and he wasn't the father of any. And he called him the father of many. He said, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, or quicken means brings life, who brings life to dead situations and calls those things which be not as though they were. Amen. See, over in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. So instead of this, you might be, your situation, listen, we're not talking about denying the circumstance. You might be weak right now, but what are you supposed to say? I'm strong. How? In the Lord. Not in and of myself. I know, we know better than that. But let the weak say, I'm strong. Amen? See, saying what the word says about us. Framing our world. If you don't like what you got in your life, start saying what it is you need and what you want. I wish that worked on my favorite sports teams. But here's what we got to understand. Our words don't have authority in other people's lives lest they ask us to speak into their lives. So you just can't go around confessing, you know. Now, when I was a student at Rhema and back in the early, one of the big things was you had all these people here, you know, and we joke about Rhema bridal trainings, you know, that type of thing. But back then, you know, people found out you could have what you say. And so they'd start, I claim that one for my wife, or I claim that one for my husband. They never even talked to the person. They just saw him on the other side of the classroom. They're claiming him for their, that's my husband. I claim you. I claim you. I'm naming it and I'm claiming it. You're my husband. You're my wife. No, you don't have that type of authority with your words. See, we got. Don't be good. Would you please drive in the road? Don't drive in the ditches. It's not any, well, it might be fun for a while, but you're going to wreck eventually. Okay? But calling those things that be not as though they were. I heard a man say this, and I'm paraphrasing what he said because I don't have it written. I've got another Bible I've got it written in. Speaking of future events with as much certainty as you would a past event. Okay? Now we know who won the Super Bowl last year. Right? So I can speak with certainty concerning who won the Super Bowl last year. But I can't say with certainty who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. See, I don't have that authority. But if the Word of God says it, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something that you've heard preachers say many, many times, but it's something in the future. Jesus is coming back. Now, how can we say it? Because the Bible says he's coming back. Right? Jesus is coming again. Well, the Bible says that. But every time we say that, we're building that into our life. How many of you are expecting Jesus to come back? Now, number one, because it's in the Word. But number two, because you've heard it said and you believed it and you said it. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Look at, now, let's go to Mark 11 then. So calling things that be not as though they were. Now the way that God does that, because every word that God says is truth. It's the truth. In other words, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is truth. Jesus said in John 17, when he was praying to the Father, said, your word, sanctify, set these folks apart by your word. Your word, oh God, is truth. All right? Now, where we get a little bit confused in this about is this a lie or what is it, is that we mistake, and I believe this has helped me immensely, so I've said it before here, but some of you might be new, that there's a difference between facts and truth. Truth doesn't change. Now, we got a big clock back here that has hour, minutes, it's got seconds. Seconds are ticking off. Every second it ticks off. Every second, the fact of what time it is changes. Now, I'm not denying the facts, okay? I'm not denying the fact, but facts tend to change, all right? How many of you were single, but now you're married? Jeremiah. I saw that hand. Hands. See, your facts changed, right? I've seen this with the Word of God. The consistent application through speaking and acting upon the truth of God's Word will change my current facts. Consistent application. Consistent application. Now, you know, there's a lot of teaching out there, and you know, the stuff that's Bible-based is really useful, but about self-talk. You know, if you're in athletics at all, you know, when you go into a situation with negative attitude through the words that you're running through your mind or what you've said, you're not going to perform. Okay? But, you know, how many of you saw the movie Cars? What did he do? I am speed. He's self-talk, right? He'd get out. Boy, by the time he came out of there, he was ready to rumble. You all right? What's that? What was it? Boogity, boogity, boogity. You know, let's go racing. But consistent application. Now, here in Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus answered, said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Or basically, we could say this, look, be like God. Okay? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, so that means, when you see the word whosoever, that means you. That means me. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, from the King James Bible, and Brother Hagin, the Lord pointed this out to Brother Hagin and told him to teach on it this way, that it says three times it says the word set to consider to say something. Say to the mountain, what believe what you say shall come to pass, and you will have whatsoever you say. Only one time does it say to believe. And the Lord told him, spend three times more to, teaching on the speaking part and the confession part than you do the believing part. But I do want you to know, you cannot just say it without believing it. And you can't say it unless you have a foundation of it from the Word of God. Now you can say, you could say, I have a new car. I have a new car, and if you get, if you really get specific, the kind of car that you have. But you can't go out in the garage and say, I am a car. See, that's foolishness. But I can, based on the Word of God, say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you know, after a certain time, a car gets a certain amount of miles on it, you need a new car. And do you think it really matters to God what kind of car you drive? This guy paves his street with gold so pure, it looks like glass. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it's not going to hurt God any, but based on your car. But you can say that, but you don't have a car. How many of you ever heard of Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho over in Seoul, South Korea? I mean, over 1 million people in their church. He got a hold of this. He learned how to start to, and people ask, well, where is it, Cho? Where is it? He said, it's on the inside. I'm pregnant with it. Now, how many of you ladies been pregnant? Did you tell anybody I'm going to have a baby? Did you have a baby? Not when you said it. The baby was there, but you didn't have the baby. But you told people you don't have a baby. Some of you, how many of you told people the name of the baby before it was ever born? You started calling. You started talking to the baby. When our daughter was born, I had talked to her so much, my man who was pregnant carrying her. I had talked to her so much that when she was bawling and squalling in the delivery room, I walked over and said, it's all right, Emily. And she stopped crying and looked at me. Because she knew my voice. These people with these cold hands, and I don't know these people. They're making me cry. But she recognized that voice. You need to talk to yourself so much that you recognize the voice of your spirit speaking out of your mouth. Call those things. And he said, speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Now, I heard many years ago, Charles Capps, I heard him say this. Brother Capps had gone home to be the Lord. He said this, and he wrote a book called God's Creative Power. And in it, he said that he was teaching along this line. And Brother Hagin actually, I heard Brother Hagin say this, that the Lord told him, he said, Brother Capps can teach faith just as well as you, so I want you to start teaching some of these other things now. And teaching on the subject of faith, he said this. He said, the Lord told him, I told my people they could have what they say, and they're saying what they have. Amen. You realize every time you say, I am sick. Now, I realize the facts may be you don't feel good. I understand. I'm not saying, you can't ever say, oh, I don't feel good. Don't get in ditches again. But you've got to come right behind that. But you could say, I don't feel good, but. You got to have the but God in there. But the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, so I'm going to declare I'm the healed of the Lord. You see, you've got to say what the truth says and be speaking the truth. Also another, and I learned this from him too. How many of you have a pet? Let me say this. How many of you have a dog? Because you give a cat a name, you can call the cat by that name for its whole life. It'll just look at you. It doesn't care a thing about what you named it. But how many of you have a dog or have had a dog? How many of you have seen a dog? So, if I want let's say the dog's out in the backyard and I open the door and say, our dog's name is Nike. Yeah, sports family, right? My daughter and her husband have a dog, and they named it Wilson. We like sports in our family, all right? At least our kids did. But this dog, if I want the dog to say, "Here, Nike. Here, Nike." Is Nike here when I say that? But that's what I want to happen. And the dog comes here. At least he used to. Now he's a little hard to hear, and you got to go out with him. Come on, Nike. Come on, Nike. But here. Here. Come here. The dog's not here right now. But I'm saying, "Here, Nike." What am I doing? I'm calling things to be not as though they were. I'm saying here. Now, we don't think of it that way, but that's a truth from God. That is a truth from God. It's so important. We don't have much time here, but I want to go back, and I didn't give these scriptures because I didn't want them to turn to, but I've got an old living Bible, the padded green Bible. All right. It's a paraphrase. It says it right in the front. This one is from, this is from the fifth printing in February of 1972. This Bible right here. And the book of Proverbs has some great things to say about our words, okay? And just starting from chapter 10, verse 11 says, "There is living truth in what a good man says, but the mouth of the evil man is filled with curses." Verse 14, "A wise man holds his tongue. Only a fool blurts out everything he knows. That only leads to sorrow and trouble." See, there's times when you're facing something to be quiet, and then there's times to speak. Keep quiet until you can speak what God's word says about your situation. All right? Verse 19, "Don't talk so much. You keep putting your foot in your mouth. Be sensible. Turn off the flow." Verse 20, "When a good man speaks, he's worth listening to, but the words of fools are a dime a dozen." Verse 32, "The upright speak what is helpful. The wicked speak rebellion." Chapter 11, verse 9, "Evil words destroy. Godly skill rebuilds." Oh, hallelujah. Verse 12, "To quarrel with a neighbor is foolish. A man with good sense holds his tongue." 13, "A gossip goes around spreading rumors, while a trustworthy man tries to quiet them." This will beat you up here if you're not careful. Chapter 12, verse 13, "Lies will get any man into trouble, but honesty is its own defense." 14, "Telling the truth gives a man great satisfaction. Hard work returns many blessings." 17, "A good man is known by truthfulness, a false man by deceit and lies." 18, "Some people like to make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise soothe and heal." You realize you can speak. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. The centurion told Jesus, "Speak the word only, and my servant can be healed." You know, you can help someone receive healing from God by speaking the right words. Ministering to them. Ministering to them. Glory to God. verse 25, "Anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders." Chapter 13, verse 3 says, "Self-control means controlling the tongue. A quick retort can ruin everything." There's so many of these as you go down through here that are so. Chapter 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words cause quarrels." Verse 4, "Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement." Verse 28, "A good man thinks before he speaks. The evil man pours out his evil without a thought." Then chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. "From a wise mind comes careful, persuasive speech. Kind words are like honey, enjoyable and healthful." Man, that's awesome. Let's see here. It's a couple more here. Chapter 18, verse 8. "With dainty, what dainty, or dainty? No, it'd be dainty. Morsels. Rumors are. They are eaten with great relish." And then in where we said death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Living paraphrase says, "Those who love to talk will suffer the consequences. Men have died for saying the wrong thing." Okay? But let me say this. Men have lived for saying the right thing. See, death and life, you can choose. And so, if it's the difference between death and life, why wouldn't we, like God said, choose life? And one of the tools he's given us to choose life are the words that we say. And his word is life. They are the words of life. And so let's put God's word in our mouth. Even if right now in your life, it doesn't, that's not the fact. Because you're in Christ, it is the truth. So speak the truth of what the word says concerning you and watch the facts begin to change. Now, it may not change it overnight, but as far as I'm concerned, it's changed. And I'm just going to rejoice as much now as I would if when it happens, because as far as I'm concerned, it's done right now. You see, that's when you really start living out of your beliefs, what you believe. Say with your mouth, believe in your heart, and watch the mountain move. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand up together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just a little reminder and simple teaching on the subject of our words and the importance of our words. Glory to God. We have authority. We've been given the authority, God-given authority, to choose our words. And so why not use them for blessing? Why not use them to cause health and healing? Why not use them to bring life into every situation? Speak life into that situation. Amen. For your part, as best as you can, you know, if you got situations, you got relationships that don't seem to be very healthy and it seems like they're dying, but situation. I'm not talking about you're dating someone, you guys decide you're not going to get married, you don't have authority over people. But I'm going to speak words of life concerning situations. Amen? Speak what God's word says about people and what God's word says about me. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, at the end of the service, I want you to come on down here. We want to pray with you, and you can leave here as a child of God. If you need prayer for anything at all, come down here, men to the men, ladies to the ladies, and you can pray with them. They're going to pray with you according to the word of God and go from this place saying what God's word says about your situation. We had some first-time guests, Brother Bill. Connection team, could you find our first-time guests and take them and receive that gift that's been prepared on behalf of Pastor Mrs. Hagen? Hallelujah. They will be in Jonesboro through Wednesday night, so back, but he'll be here next Sunday. But come on out Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Hallelujah. And that's at least an hour of power, right? Just at least. Sometimes not, you know. I know some folks get mad. Well, wait a minute, my hour's up. No, it's at least an hour of power, okay? Praise the Lord. All right. Tomorrow, don't forget, ladies, tomorrow night, if you want to be apply to be a leader in the Rhema Regals program, you come at 6 o'clock, right? 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And then students will see you at 8:30 in the morning over at SDC1. Praise the Lord. So listen, don't stay up all night messing around. Get some sleep so you're alert, ready to go in the morning. Hallelujah. Well, high five about 4 or 5 folks. Tell them you love them in Jesus' name, and we can be dismissed. Amen.